Welcome to Day Zero Update for January 26, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
And yeah, we've got a big week of news as we had a bunch of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
A number of developers announced the fates of their games, whether they're still alive or not. We had a showcase here with the Xbox Developer Direct.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people stepping down or retiring from their jobs, and a number of games that are coming out in the near future. And a couple of delays here. But yeah, before we get to all of that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off. I have been back into Yi's Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the second dungeon, which then turns into another dungeon, a lava dungeon, essentially, that you get some silly items. It's like, oh, yeah, this one lets you not get damaged in shallow lava. It's like, okay. Yeah. And then I beat the boss there, which wasn't too tough. But then the guy just disappears. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I just now use what I have and find another path, which I'm working on. But this is an area that, let's say, has a lot of room for error. Mm-hmm. As if you fall, you just disappear to another part of the map. And you have to start the cycle over again. Get back there and try again. It was kind of the initial confusion, but now I kind of know where everything's at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with some annoying enemies, especially this one. It's like just a bunch of like pill bugs that jump at you and just swarm all over you and do a lot of damage. That's real annoying. So the move I have, the new spell, is pretty good for doing damage to them. Doesn't necessarily kill them as quickly as I want, but it might just be that I have to level up or something. But I have no way to get back to the town and like upgrade my equipment or anything. I'm just dealing with a bunch of level one gear right now. So that's where that's at. I played the two new retro games on PS Plus Premium. There's Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, a game that I did not know existed. But it has an interesting story. So if you remember when they announced the big next-gen Indiana Jones game, whose tech was kind of used in Star Wars, Unleashed, I believe it was, all the animation tech and all that. Was originally in the Indiana Jones game, and then they eventually canceled it. But alongside that game, they had a couple of other studios working on Indiana Jones games for the Wii, the PS2, I think the PSP and the DS, that were supposed to line up with The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And those ones were able to get finished, but they ended up canceling the others. So these ones kind of came out, and I guess supposedly was the same story, at least from what I was reading. So you can definitely tell this is a PS2 version of a Wii game. Like the Wii is the lead SKU for this, because it's does not look good. Especially it has not aged very well from this point. A lot of times you see cutscenes showing Indiana's face, and his eyes don't have eyelids. So he has a lot of that kind of staring and horror kind of look to his face a lot of times that is just very unnerving. They have a different voice actor who plays his... does the voice for that, and I am I'm gonna look it up real quick who it is, because it's not anybody you've ever heard of, I don't think. Let me see here. It is, wait, where's it at? John Armstrong. Who I never heard of, but sounds pretty good in the game. But obviously this is not like a big time voice actor or anything at this point. It seems like he also worked on Condemned, The Suffering, and Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron, that kind of stuff. He worked on a lot of LucasArts games, essentially, and a couple other projects. But yeah, he does a pretty good job. But the plot involves Indiana Jones hunting for this, you know, the Staff of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you have this game on other platforms, the Wii version, I guess, has an exclusive co-op story mode with Indiana Jones and his father. And also an unlockable version of the classic point-click adventure game, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, in that version. But yeah, in the other versions, I think I unlocked a big head mode. There's also Andrew Jones Sr., Tuxedo Indy, and I think Han Solo as options for that stuff, plus a bunch of other like behind the scenes, like artwork and all that kind of stuff that's in this as you collect these little artifacts, which aren't actual artifacts. You just see Indiana Jones's hat, like an icon just floating in an area, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I go collect this. And like every two of those you collect, you unlock something, which is neat. They also have trailers for the previous movies, the original trilogy, which is weird.
Because
it's like, I figure if you're buying this game, you have seen those. Maybe you're somehow, the person's like, I've never heard of Indiana Jones, or never seen it, and I should check out this video game. Because, yeah, the game itself, it is, you know, action-adventure, kind of. You're kind of just running around these areas, doing some light platforming. Mostly fighting guys hand-to-hand. Though you do get to some funny, like, combat, like, gun combat sequences. Where I was at, I was in, I think, Chinatown in San Francisco, I think, is the area. That is kind of this, let's say, it was like rooftop sequence where you kind of just went from cover to cover. You never controlled any of that stuff, but then you just controlled a cursor and you hit up on the analog stick to pull up out of it to take a shot at things. And you just kind of had to figure out like what the interactable stuff is for these sequences, which isn't too hard, but it's just, you know, it's a little trial and error. But yeah, you're kind of going through these areas, you're kind of going through this stuff pretty quickly. So I imagine this is probably not a super long game. Maybe like 6 or 7 hours, maybe. Depending on if you're looking for all the stuff to all the collectible stuff. But otherwise, it's all pretty straightforward. The puzzles are all kind of dead simple. I had one where you go into this office and you're supposed to find the secret exits or whatever trigger for a thing. And you just see like, oh, there's this bookcase that has a thing around it. Makes it easy to tell. You got to push it. You push it out of the way, and like there's a collectible behind it. So you essentially just go down the path, let go of the door. It's, you know, goes back to where it was. And then you go around and you see like, oh, there's a Indy's hat here, kind of thing. It's all pretty simple. It's not a very good game at all. I can see why this version is not very well received. None of them are really. On a Metacritic, the PSP version has the best score at 63. But Wii and PS2 have a 55 and DS is a 50. And it's like, yeah, this just doesn't seem like a very enticing game, especially because at the point that this game released, I believe this is the summer before Uncharted 2. So like, most people would have seen those games and been like, well, this is clearly a much superior experience versus that. And also, you know, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is a bad movie, so that probably didn't help it at all.
Yeah.
For getting people excited about Indiana Jones thing. But yeah, this is just not a good game, but it's amusing playing it in this form, so maybe do that if you're into seeing some weird bit of history. And yeah, the other one was Medieval 2, which is its own kind of weird bit of history. It's a sequel to the original. It's just kind of a fairly straightforward kind of action game, for the most part, action platformer. The combat's a bit clumsy, like the original, all that kind of stuff. It's got some charm to it. I beat the first boss in this, which is a weird supernatural skeleton monster that rebuilt itself with bones. Like, it's weird. It's not like the bones form a skeleton. It's that they lump together to form this like weird skeleton dinosaur thing, and then it turns into a dragon. It's a weird like circular arena with two layers to it, and the way you get up to the second layer is literally just leave it and go around this little staircase that goes around to the top side. And it's just weird. But yeah, it's one of those. But that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon? What have you been doing?
Well, as for me, I've been, of course, taking advantage of my PS Plus subscription because we got some new games that came out Tuesday for it. And predominantly, I've been playing God of War Ragnarok because I played the first game and absolutely adored it. And I had been patiently waiting for Ragnarok to finally be on PS Plus, and it finally is. So I'm taking advantage of it now. And, you know, the first game was amazing. This one is somehow even better. They add on a bunch of new elements to it. They also have some new characters and stuff. But overall, it's very much a continuation of the first one, and that's exactly what I wanted. And yeah, it's really is a lot of fun. We were in the Dwarf Realm for a while and just got back from that. That's one of the things. I've also, one of the other games that came out was Anno Mutationum, which is a game from their China Heroes project. So it's a Chinese developer, and it has kind of like a 2.5D aesthetic to it. All the characters are 2D pixels, but the environments are all three-dimensional. It's definitely interesting. The character you're playing is essentially this woman who's like a trained mercenary who started developing this condition where she just randomly has these blackouts. And while she's, you know, unconscious, she just kind of goes berserk and breaks a bunch of stuff. And so she's trying to sort of like find what her, like a cure or a treatment of some kind. And her brother ends up getting involved in the local crime scene, trying to get this cure for it, and ends up going missing. And right now that's sort of what I'm trying to do is finding him. But it involves a bunch of stuff. Like there's a city state that's sort of declared independence. There's like a bunch of others that are trying to like reconquer it and bring it back into the fold. There's this whole thing where it's like, you know, a character you're playing, she's got some brothers and sisters, but none of them look like her. And then you go to meet dad, quote unquote dad. And it turns out like dad's an android. And yeah, it's just a bunch of interesting stuff going on. And the combat's pretty interesting, too. It is fairly kind of standard, like, action RPG type stuff, but it's still pretty fun. That's what I've been playing. So, Dan Reb, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing a lot of Madden because it's football season. I've been playing a whole lot more than this, but I can't talk about any of it yet. So, gotta move on.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, let's get to some news, and there's some new Game Pass stuff. Going on, let me see. Okay, we got some stuff here that's already available at this point. There's Lonely Mountain Snow Riders, the sequel to Lonely Mountains Downhill. You can probably guess that it's based more around snowboarding and skiing, that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's neat. It's on console and PC, Game Pass, and Game Pass Ultimate. So there you go for that. Also available, let's see, on the console, Game Pass Standard, Flock. That's that cool little kind of exploration co-op kind of game where you're flying around with your bird creature and just collecting a bunch of stuff around the world, all that kind of stuff. That's a pretty cool game. Also, available now. Let's see, for console and PC, Gigantic Rampage mm-hmm. Edition. This is a Game Pass Ultimate, PC Game Pass, and Game Pass Standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big 5v5 MOBA game. So you can check that out. Also available now on Game Pass Standard, Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. Let's see. The rest of these are Game Pass Standard ones. Magical Delicacy is available on Game Pass Standard. Chia is available on Game Pass Standard. In the case of the Golden Idol, is available on Game Pass Standard. So some good stuff there. Also available on Game Pass Ultimate and Game Pass Standard for console, Starbound.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those, it's a weird whole situation here, because Starbound was one of the first games to kind of come out of the group of companies that were working on Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was a studio started by the artist that worked on Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
That worked on, is that or Terraria? I think it might be Terraria. They kind of came out and announced this game. It's been on PC for a long time,
mm-hmm.
But they never really brought it to consoles for whatever reason. And their first console is Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Here, like 7 or 8 years later. You can check that out. It's very much that kind of digging through environments, collecting materials, building stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for upgraded weapons and all that kind of stuff, but it's more, you know, space themed on more fantastical, you know, sci-fi planet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on things that are coming up here on January 28th, Eternal Strands.
Mm-hmm.
That is the debut game from Yellow Brick Games, which was founded by veterans from the Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Watch Dogs, and Assassin's Creed series. And Park, particularly one of the guys that was the director on Dragon Age, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to see. So that'll be out this week on Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the 28th, Orcs Must Die Death Trap for Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of those trap defense games in that series, so
mm-hmm.
That's one you can check out. It seems like this one has more roguelite stuff going on in it, so there's that. Mm-hmm. For the 29th, there's Shady Part of Me for console and PC. This is Game Pass Ultimate, PC Game Pass, and Game Pass Standard, so yeah. That is... let me see what this game is.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has been out for a bit. Yeah, this is a... a neat little indie game.
Mm-hmm.
As they say here, sends you on an emotional and dreamlike journey with breathtaking artistic direction and thrilling mm-hmm. voice of Hannah Murray from Game of Thrones and Skins.
Mm-hmm.
As a little girl and her shadow overcome emotional struggles through surreal dreamscapes, across a touching narrative filled with twists and surprises. So mm-hmm. kind of a co-op platformer adventure game kind of thing. On January 30th, for Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass, there's Sniper Elite Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Some more. This is like a spinoff of the last one, which will be Sniper Elite 5, I think. It's set back in like more city environments.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of shooting Nazis in the balls. So that's what everybody wants to do. So there you go. January 31st, there's Citizen Sleeper 2, Starward Vector. For Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass, highly anticipated sequel to a very well done kind of dice-driven, like, tabletop RPG kind of game to mm-hmm. it. Takes a bit to get used to how it works, but once you get it, it has some really nice story and way that it uses the dice mechanics for interesting twists to the story, so
mm-hmm.
There's more of that coming, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, then the last one here, February 4th, Far Cry New Dawn for Game mm-hmm. Pass Ultimate, PC Game Pass, and Game Pass Standard. So that's the spinoff of Far Cry 5, set after an apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
In the same area that the game was in, but now it's a lot more colorful, I guess, and full of animals to kill and people to kill and all that kind of stuff. So
mm-hmm.
not that different of a game, but slightly different vibes to it. So
mm-hmm.
That seems pretty much it. So some nice stuff there for the next week or so. So yeah, that's some stuff to check out.
Oh yeah. Got some solid ones in there.
Yeah. So yeah, also some subscription news. We got some new games for the SNES app on Nintendo Switch Online.
Mm-hmm.
They added, yeah, two that came to the West and one that is never came over.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fatal Fury 2, which is one of the classic SNK fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
There's, let's see, Super Ninja Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever seen before. And then a game called Sute Hakun,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm not 100% sure what that is. Let's see. A 1997 action puzzle game. Okay. Developed by IndieZero and Nintendo R&D2. Published by Nintendo on Super Famicom's add-on Satellaview.
Mm-hmm.
So they did an NES version at some point. Or no?
Yep.
This is just, they did a Satellaview version and a regular Super Famicom version.
Mm.
So yeah, this is a very late game. Because yeah, it released in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like a puzzle platformer, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
With some neat graphics to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like the backgrounds of like that infamous Windows screensaver kind of field. So
yeah,
some decent games there.
Mm-hmm.
For that, so there you go. And then last up here, got some demos that are out now
mm-hmm.
on PlayStation, it seems, for right now, PS5 and PS4. The Legend of Heroes Trails Through Daybreak 2.
Mm-hmm.
They released a story and a battle demo.
Yep.
So yeah, I believe the story demo is the main demo if you want to carry progress over to the main game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the battle demo will let you check out the battle system and try out a couple of battles there.
Yep.
So yeah, some neat stuff you can check out right now ahead of the main game's launch in February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely sounds cool.
Let's see here. We got some dates for some games coming up in the near future.
Yep.
We got While Waiting will be out February mm-hmm. 15th. This was at, I think, one of the directs or I think one of the Summer Game Fest things.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where exactly it was at. But yeah, that was a game that looks really neat. Yeah, let me see if I can find it here in the
mm-hmm.
the doc. But yeah, it's one of those games where, like, you're waiting on... Or I think it puts you in a bunch of situations so you can kind of go around and goof around and check, you know, try out different things.
Yeah.
While you're waiting. So like, wait, you know, the screenshot they have here is waiting for the sushi to come and you go do some stuff while you're waiting for the specific one you want. That kind of stuff, or like waiting at the bus stop, all that kind of stuff. Some comedy moments and serious moments and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that looks neat.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that out here in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Let's see. Next one up here. We got Ninja 5-0.
Yep.
The long awaited sort of remaster of the game that Limited Run Games, I believe, announced last year.
Yeah.
That Konami is working on.
Mm-hmm.
That is a classic GBA game.
Yep.
That was incredibly hard to get for a reasonable price.
Yeah, it had a very limited release and, you know, it kind of became a cult classic, but it was really hard to get a copy of it. And when you did find a copy of it, it was usually stupid expensive. So
yeah, this is one of those, it's one of those weird games, where you have, you're playing the role of Joe Osugi, who is a detective, and you want to become the Ninja 5-0,
yep.
a ninja cop. So yeah, a lot of combat stuff as well as solving crimes and all that kind of stuff. So that's that's pretty neat. That'll be out on PS5, PS4, Switch, PC on February 25th for $24.99. So that's cool. That's a pretty good price for that. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys already said that this was rare to come by. I personally have never heard of this prior to the podcast. So like, yeah, when I was reading the agenda and I saw this game, I was like, this one looks pretty interesting. And, you know, but we'll talk about it later, but it's going to be a big year for ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going to be the year of the ninja.
Yeah, so then we got a delay here. Lost Records, Bloomin' Rage, Tape 1 will be out at its normal time on February 18th. But Tape 2 has been delayed about a month from March 18th to April 15th. So they seem like they have... yeah, they said it was to allow for additional optimization and to give the team the necessary time to refine the experience for players and enhance the storytelling for a truly immersive continuation of the journey.
Yeah.
They did announce the price for the game, which will be at $39.99 for both of them. They'll have a launch discount to get it for a little bit cheaper if you want to buy it right away.
Yep.
So, yeah, that'll be cool to see. But yeah, that's one of those interesting looking games for this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, you know, because I love Don't Nod and I love the stuff they make. And, you know, I loved Life is Strange, the Life is Strange games they made. And this looks like a lot of that, but with better graphics. So,
yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with everything that Brandon mentioned. The main thing that concerns me is that episodic games are really hard. They're one of the few things that Don't Nod has pretty much mastered in gaming, but it's only gotten harder, right? And, you know, one of the reasons why Life is Strange sort of went off the deep end prior to True Colors coming out was they couldn't really adhere to an episodic, you know, release date cadence. And that's pretty much what made people drop off of Life is Strange 2, no matter how good it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they made... I think True Colors was actually not Don't Nod. It was Deck Nine, right? But, you know, anyway, like with that, you know, Square Enix was able to have them release True Colors as one whole game. Whereas with this one, you see Don't Nod going back to that episodic cadence, and like, there's no guarantees here. And, you know, by delaying it a full month, you know, obviously, like, you normally delay a game for good reasons, but you just have to hope that, you know, people that play it don't lose their momentum, or that the first game is good enough to, you know, keep people involved to get to the second one. But yeah, reading this story, I didn't realize that each tape would be so long, and it would only be a two-parter. But yeah, this is definitely something to take note of, especially as each studio talks about, you know, how they never meet their expectations as far as sales and whatnot. So I'd be interested in to see what happens here. But yeah, this is definitely a game that I have my eye on, and I hope it goes well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah, that'll be a little bit later for the second tape, but the first tape will be out here in a few weeks, so that'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
We do have another game that is coming out later this year. Captain Blood will finally be out on May 6th.
Oh, yeah. This is a game
that is a long time in the works. They were planning to get this out for the Xbox 360.
Yeah, like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Aiming for about 2010 then, but the launch was scrapped when the original publisher for the game went bankrupt. And they had to go through a bunch of legal challenges to get the rights to the game back to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the developers here, Seawolf Studio, have now found a new partner, publisher Snegg, who seems to be doing a much better job of helping them get it out, as they you know, actually have a date now.
Yep.
Of May 6th. For PS5, PS4, Xbox, Switch, and PC. So yeah, you're kind of a pirate named Captain Blood.
Yep.
That has to, let's see. Yeah, the local magistrate's beautiful buxom daughter is kidnapped. He swells his pride and hires you and your crew to rescue her.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going on all that kind of stuff. So seems like a action hack and slash kind of game.
Very sort of early 2000s sort of hack and slash type game. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that looks neat.
Oh yeah, it does. Definitely is a throwback. I mean, it literally is a throwback considering it was supposed to come out over 15 years ago, but yeah. Definitely looks interesting.
This is another one of those titles that just, you know, flies by the head here. I don't know anything about it. I didn't know that it was supposed to come out on the 360 way back when or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So when you say hack and slash in the early 2000s, do you mean like Dynasty Warriors or something along the more along the lines of like, I don't know, Diablo?
Probably
something more like Fable.
Yeah, Fable.
Like just kind of a very lights action game of sorts. As they pretty much talk about it as like a linear QTE heavy game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with QTEs. I know a lot of people do, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it makes it more playable to me. Looking forward to trying this one out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be out early on in the summer area. So yep, there's that. And we also know another game that's coming out in May, Fuga Melodies of Steel 3.
Yes.
Somehow they've gotten to a third already.
Well, those first two games were really good.
Yeah. But yeah, this one will be out May 29th.
Yeah, this is one of those series where it's like, do not let the cutesy look fool you. These games are dark. Like, really, really dark.
Yeah.
They're fun. Don't get me wrong, they're really enjoyable, but still, dark.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, the first game is basically, more or less, the whole thing with the first game is it's basically like a bunch of kids having to commandeer the sentient tank to fight off a Nazi invasion, more or less. That's basically, so it's like, yeah, it gets dark.
Yeah. Because, yeah, they're basically, like, what, strategy RPG kind of games?
Yeah, they're strategy RPGs, kind of like, like, when you're looking at, like, the sort of, like, the, what you like, the screenshots, you might think something like, you know, Advanced Wars or something like that, but no, it's more like, it's a bit closer to, like, I don't know if you guys played the, what was the Dragon Quest games where it was, like, a blue slime tank that you were controlling or something like that? It's like that, basically. You're basically controlling, like, this big, huge, in the first two games, at least, it was this tank that had, like, a couple of different abilities to it and a couple of different weapons, but, like, you had to, you know, conserve your resources and, you know, defend because, you know, you're usually going up against two or three enemies at a time. Yeah, it's like that.
You're talking about Rocket Slime, right?
Yep.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot like Rocket Slime.
Yeah. So yeah, they seem to, at least in Japan, have like a trilogy bundle you can get for it, but I don't know if there's going to have anything like that here, but they will have the game out, May 29th. So for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
So have your pick of wherever you want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
For that. So yeah, there you go for that. And that's it for our dates. But we do have some industry news here. And first up here, Balatro has reached 5 million copies sold, which is definitely a big achievement there.
Yep.
For that kind of game. I believe Local Thunk basically said that, yeah, let's see here. If this is your first time picking up an indie title, try to make it a habit, saying buy more indie games.
Mm-hmm.
Not just his game. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Great news.
Mm-hmm.
One game that people should check out.
Definitely.
Yeah, it obviously, you know, took the industry by storm, and it being available on everything really helps. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of those rare games that is actually selling pretty well on mobile, despite it being like $10 there. So yeah, that's one to check out. Also, has some more news here. Pocket Pair has announced a publishing arm called mm-hmm. Pocket Pair Publishing, with their first title being one from Surgeon Studios. So Abubakar Salim's studio now has a new publisher.
Mm.
That's cool. This title that they describe here is very much, I believe, supposed to be a horror game of sorts. So that'll be neat. Yeah, he says here, we noticed a pattern in the entertainment industry and pop market between where we've come from and where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good that he's got some backing for a new game.
Yeah,
hopefully that does well so they can have an easier time getting back to work on another game in the Tales of Kinzera universe.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely a cool announcement. You know, Surgeon Studios, with their first game, Tales of Kinzera, did a wonderful job, but, you know, obviously we know what happened with sales there, and they've been going through a tough time, so it's a good thing that they're still able to find a publisher. I don't know what this next game will be about. It being horror doesn't really interest me, but if it's in the same, you know, kind of mind as Tales of Kinzera, it's definitely one that I'll be paying attention to.
Yeah, and the thing that they're hoping to have it out later this year, so that it's not a huge turnaround time for them, but that'd be cool to see. But yeah, speaking of games you thought would be cool to see, Earthblade has been canceled by Extremely OK Games. They posted a big message here on their site, basically saying, let's see. Hey, everyone, I got some sad news to ring in 2025. Late last month, Noel and I made the decision to cancel Earthblade. As we're opening the year with a huge, heartbreaking, yet relieving failure, I want to outline in this post what led to the decision, what it means for the future of EXOK. Which, yeah, kind of gets into it here, saying that, you know, they waited to announce it because they needed time for themselves to process and grieve the sort of lost work that has, you know, been invested in for the past few years on this project. But basically talking about how, let's see, specifically this year, or specifically this was, they're talking about a fracture between, that began forming in the team, between us, Noel and I, and Pedro, a founding member of EXOK, longtime friend and collaborator and art director of Earthblade and pixel/UI artist on Celeste and Towerfall. Conflict centered around a disagreement about the IP rights of Celeste, which we won't be detailing publicly, but this is obviously a very difficult and heartbreaking process. We eventually reached a resolution, but both parties agreed in the end that we should go our separate ways. Pedro's now working on his game Neverway, which you should check out. We've played it and it's very promising. And yeah, losing Pedro wasn't the only factor in canceling the game, but it did prompt us to take a serious look at whether fighting through to finish Earthblade was the right path forward. Project had a lot going for it, but frustratingly was also not as far along as one would expect after such a protracted development process. I do believe that we soldiered on despite it all, that Earthblade could still be a great game, but would it be worth the pain? Noel and I began to reflect on how the game has felt for us, work on day to day, and realize that it has been a struggle for a long time. Sure, working on one project for so long is bound to become a slog, but this game feels like a deeper problem. Less success applied pressure on us to deliver something bigger and better with Earthblade, and that pressure is a large part of why working on it has become so exhausting. Pedro isn't to blame for this. In fact, the split with him has given us clarity to see that we've lost our way and the opportunity to admit defeat. I feel many ways about it, but one big feeling is undoubtedly relief. Because it's the internet, I want to be unequivocal here that the decision and responsibility for canceling Earthblade rests entirely with me and Noel. If you're excited about Earthblade and angry about its canceling, Pedro and the Neverway team aren't the enemy, and anyone who treats them as such isn't welcome in the EXOK community. So that's a nice moment here. But they talk about here at the end that they're basically wiping the slate clean and refocusing on smaller scale projects and basically doing a lot of prototyping and trying to find like what the next big thing they want to work on. Working on with other people that they collaborated with on this project. But we'll see how that goes. And yeah, they've had a number of people sort of split as a result of this to work on their own things. So they're kind of seeing how that goes. But yeah, essentially the end result is that Earthblade is no more. But they are working on prototypes for new things that, and see which one kind of gels with them and mm-hmm. becomes the next project. So,
yeah,
sad news, but still a lot of positivity about it. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this one's a bummer, you know, especially after making a couple awesome games with Towerfall and then Celeste, and you would think that this next one is also going to be a home run, but this just goes to show that game development is hard. Not only that, but like the rest of the industry has seen their struggles too, and it just goes to show that indies aren't exactly the home run that people think they are either. So I'm happy to see that, you know, they were able to realize that what they wanted to do might have been a little bit too much. And, you know, while it's a sad story, you do like to see that they walked away out of, like, you know, the sheer necessity and, like, will to do it. And, you know, they're able to find the fun in something else, because you don't want to continue to build something that, you know, all of a sudden don't care about anymore, because that doesn't do anything for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to see a very promising game kind of end up being canceled, but hopefully their next game ends up being the one for them. They find kind of what
certainly
they
hope so.
What they what excites them versus being something that the way they frame it here kind of seemed like it was kind of a drag at a certain point emotionally for them.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. But yeah, if you are bummed by that news, just know that there's a ton of other games coming out, especially from other indie studios that are well worth your attention and interest. So, speaking of games that are still trudging on, Hollow Knight Silksong, the butt of every showcase, joking, you know, all that kind of stuff. There was a weird situation with all the Switch 2 leaks happening that a developer on the game posted basically a picture of a piece of chocolate cake saying something big is coming. Keep your eyes closed tomorrow on their Twitter account. That was somebody that worked at the studio. I think it might be, they're the co-creator of the original game. Updating his socials with the new name, handle, and image, and tweeting out the January 16th that something big is coming. Keep your eyes closed tomorrow. And that's a weird whole thing. Especially because that's right around when the Switch 2 announcement ended up happening. So people are like, oh, they're going to announce it as part of the, you know, going to be featured at the Switch 2 video, whatever is going on. You know, people that are fans of Hollow Knight essentially getting themselves excited over something. Yet again, supposedly being more Silksong.
Yeah, Silksong is one of those like titles that is it's taken on sort of the memetic mutation that like Half-Life 3 has, where it's like so incredibly anticipated that even when there's like a small thread of possible hope, even when it's sometimes not even related at all to it, people will seize upon it and be like, There's going to be a Silksong announcement, guys. But, you know.
Yeah, which then also has a weird thing, because people took the image, the cake, the image of the cake, and did a reverse image search and led to the date April 2nd, 2024, which, of course, is 1 year before the date of the Switch 2 Direct that is happening here in a couple of months. So that then adds to this whole weird conspiracy, but as you may have figured out, nothing happens. So people talked to the PR guy at Team Cherry and said, like, no, there was no Silksong ARG going on or anything like that. This wasn't tied to any of that. And yeah, then just tweeted out, yes, the game is real, progressing, and will release. So there's your proof of life. There's the PR guy says we're still working on it. I think that's just more the reason here is that they're still working on it and they don't want to, you know, have to stop to make a trailer for a show. They just be like, oh, we're still working on it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, we want to keep working on it and get it right. versus whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I don't know that Half-Life 3 is really a great example, because you know we've actually seen gameplay of this.
Yeah,
actual trailers versus just, well, obviously they're making a Half-Life 3. Half-Life 2 was so good.
Yeah, and
they didn't make Episode 3 of Half-Life 2. So obviously there's a Half-Life 3, and then we've, you know, only seen that there was like elements of things that were worked on at Valve at some point, but nothing that ever coalesced, versus this game is just like, you know, one, this is a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
So they are finishing it up because that's part of it, but I don't think they're taking this long because it's because there's issues. It's probably because they are, you know, it was supposed to be just DLC and they've made it into its own game. So it's more that they want to make it as good as they know it can be. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are really unfortunate circumstances. Like, it's gotten to the point where Silksong just might be, like, the most hyped release ever, even talking about, like, both indie and mainstream. It's like, you can't watch any sort of showcase without somebody talking about Silksong making some sort of appearance. And, you know, Team Cherry is not a big team. So, as far as, like, people making all their conjectures about the cake meaning something, like, yeah, like they should realize that size of a team and, you know, whoever they hire at PR is not going to go through that kind of detail in order to make up some sort of marketing campaign, just because it just doesn't make any sense for the size and money that they actually have. That being said, like, you know, Team Cherry is at a point where they should know what the demand is, and like anything that they post is going to go viral automatically. You know, like, it sucks that this cake was really just for someone's birthday or whatever it may be. But this is an example of a company not realizing, like, how powerful they are in the industry right now. Like, it's gotten to a point where I think that when it does come out, this game is going to sell, like, blockbuster sales. And which is crazy to say, because Metroidvanias really aren't that popular as far as sales anyway. Like, I'm sure Nintendo wishes Metroid could do this. And, probably won't anytime soon, even with Metroid Prime 4 coming out this year.
But
yeah, it's just weird. And yeah, we know that's in development, because if it was canceled, that would send the industry even into even more of a frenzy. But like, yeah, like, even though you kind of feel sorry for the situation, it's kind of like, you guys should have known about this. It's rough.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that it was featured at the Xbox and Bethesda Game Showcase in June 2022, where Xbox was like, yeah, it'll be out in the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nope. Like, they announced that there was a delay, but development is still continuing. So, yeah, they're still working on it. As long as nobody is trying to harass them about it, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's your big news that continuing that All Night Silksong is still going on.
Yep.
That's still a going concern, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to some more news. Marvel Snap ended up being also taken down as part of the TikTok ban that happened for a good chunk of that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Which I knew about this because I think we've talked about this before, how Marvel Snap is published by the company that is owned by ByteDance. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody ever really looked at that law that was passed to ban it, because it does specifically mention that that any of the apps owned by or, you know, run by that company were to be taken down. Maybe not necessarily taken offline, but we're not supposed to be on the app shops anymore or anything. But that got taken down. Developers are very much like, we did not know this was coming. And it's like, boy, what was the behind the scenes shit here? Because you'd think that ByteDance's lawyers would be talking to all of their companies about this stuff, what's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So it very much seems like that's their publisher, which I think is Newverse, probably knew about this and, you know, pulled the strings to get it taken down. But probably did not talk to the developer here, which is some wild stuff to be doing. So as a result, the developers of Marvel Snap have said they're going to be looking for a new publishing partner. Because they definitely don't want to have somebody pulling the strings in this way without them even being looped in on it. So yeah, that's a fun situation there. Which is probably better for them in the long run. So yeah, best of luck to Second Dinner finding a better partner. Because yeah, one that's willing to just pull your game offline in one of the largest countries in the world and without telling you. That's pretty fucked up. Kind of business stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. I used to be a hardcore Marvel Snap player. I don't anymore. And if this happened to me, like, you know, I wouldn't say I'd go ballistic, but I'd be pretty pissed off about it. That being said, I don't care about TikTok. So, you know, when the news came about, you know, whatever happened here, I was like, yeah, I don't use that. But then when I found out, you know, both Marvel Snap and CapCut, you know, both of which I've used pretty heavily over the last couple of years, were affected. And I was like, oh. And, you know, with Marvel Snap, you know, I'm surprised that the developers didn't know, because at the same time, like, you work for this company, you should know who you work under, and that includes the umbrellas. Like, you know, if Rockstar went down because of something like that happened at Take-Two, I'm pretty sure that, you know, as an employee, I'd know what exactly happened there. So, like, just looking at the way studios work, like, I wonder how this could have even been brought up. Like, they definitely did a good job communicating, so good job with the community and marketing team there. But I wonder what, like, it was actually like, just, you know, being able to work for them, because the development team can't do anything. It's going to be like the people in charge who, you know, run the publishing, who are then going to report to the people at ByteDance. So yeah, like, it must be really frustrating. And, you know, this is a mobile game. So this is a game that sees some evergreen money every day. And being gone for that long affects your bottom line. And when you're affecting the bottom line, you know, who owns Marvel? Disney. You're going to piss off Disney? Ah, that's not going to work out. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a wild situation to see play out. But yeah, best of luck to them to find a publisher that isn't going to be willing to screw them in the back with that kind of stuff. Cause yeah, I had seen at least a decent amount of people are like, oh yeah, I spent some money, you know, a couple hours ago. Now the game's unplayable. What the fuck is going on? You know, cause you obviously have like battle passes and that kind of stuff going on, limited time events and all that. So yeah, just a fun time to be pissing off a very fickle fan base on mobile phones. So yeah, fun times there. But yeah, let's get to some more news. And yeah, we finally found one, a CEO that is taking responsibility for their actions.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers Games president David Haddad will be stepping down after 12 years of leading the company's interactive entertainment division. Yeah, he'll stay on board with the company for the next 3 months as the parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, seeks his replacement and to help oversee the transition. So, yeah. Hey, somebody has been sent to the unemployment office. So I'm sure he's been paid well enough. He doesn't matter to him. But still, it's something rare that we see at this point. Consequences, mostly people fuck up and they get to do whatever they want from then on still. So yeah, that is not a huge surprise, just that he would be you know, sent away, because Warner Brothers Games has not had much in the way of big successes lately. I think it's the Mortal Kombat 1's probably the last big one.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the Suicide Squad game did not go very well.
Nope.
Was it Multiverses did okay for a while, and then has just kind of just kept chugging along. It's not really doing all that well. And yeah, the Batman game has done pretty well for them for VR, but that's not, you know, I doubt that's bringing in that much money. So yeah, they need somebody to lead the company and get more games like Hogwarts Legacy, I guess.
Yeah.
Sell a ton of copies and less Suicide Squads, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's see here. We got one last bit of industry news here. Insomniac Games CEO Ted Price is retiring after running Insomniac Games for the last 31 years. He'll be retiring at the end of March after 30 years. He founded this company in 1994 when he was 26 and has managed to run it effectively for 30 years and be hugely successful to the point of selling the company to Sony and kind of managing to lead and continue growing this hugely influential developer in the industry. And been one of those big names.
Yeah.
You wonder how the hell he is in his 50s, because he does not look like it.
Nope.
So yeah.
But he's going out on a high note, because Insomniac right now is probably the most successful they've been in pretty much forever. He's the guy, he's one of the main guys behind Spyro. He's one of the main guys behind Ratchet and Clank. Insomniac along with Naughty Dog have essentially sort of have a symbiotic relationship with Sony that has lasted for some 30 years now. And, he's going out on a high note. That's all I got to say.
A high note would definitely be understated. This is somebody who has been respected in the industry for a very long time. He pretty much hosts all of DICE's events, well, except for the DICE Awards, but obviously, they hire, actual gaming hosts to handle that. And, the respect that he has amongst his peers goes without any bounds. You mentioned that he's been there since the days of Spyro when they developed that. And, you look at the industry, obviously, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. As someone that works there, I wouldn't recommend it or recommend pursuing it for the time being. But, just talking to anybody in Insomniac who, obviously didn't get, or for anybody who works there and didn't get affected by the layoffs, people that do work there are very proud of it. They think that they have a lot of creative liberties. This Ratchet and Clank is something that continues to be successful. Spider-Man is awesome. Sunset Overdrive, that wasn't the most popular sales thing, but that was definitely a pretty cool effort. And then you also have Wolverine coming soon. This company is hitting on all cylinders, and they have been, in my opinion, PlayStation's best partner this entire generation, because otherwise I wouldn't say that a whole lot of other exclusives are worth owning a current gen console for. So yeah, Ted Price is retiring on top, and I don't know if he decides on doing anything more, but if he's calling it quits, he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so in his place is also part of this announcement. They announced that there will be a 3-person team that will be heading up the studio. There's Ryan Schneider, who is sort of their big community person, who's done a lot of work in I think his most recent role is head of franchise strategy and studio relations. He's done that. And then he's most recently served as head of brand and leadership strategy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that kind of experience there. There's Jen Huang, who was their CFO and head of finance and has grown from there. And Chad Desern, who has been part of their art team, started as environment artist, art director, studio director for the Durham studio, and then as head of creative starting in 2017. Those all seem like fitting people to help lead their studio and kind of be able to tackle different parts of the work they're doing. So that'll be cool to see the good work that they have been doing, and will keep doing, hopefully, for the foreseeable future. There you go.
Yep.
Let's end it here. We'll talk about the Xbox Developer Direct.
All right.
Where it seemed to be the first of these showcases where they mentioned other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, they talked about five games here total. One's technically a bonus, though. It was out the same day, so it's just a shadow drop. But they started off with their surprise game, which was Ninja Gaiden 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe is kind of, let me see. I think it's, you have a new protagonist, Yakumo, who is part of a rival ninja clan to Ryu Hayabusa. And yeah, so kind of has his own style of the way that he does his thing. But I guess also Ryu also shows up throughout the game. So he'll be a playable character as well. With a lot of his classic moves and such. But yeah, as part of this, Team Ninja is working with Platinum Games on this game. So it's not really a huge surprise because Team Ninja is a studio that works on a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, they put out Rise of the Ronin last year. And they work on a bunch of different stuff. And Platinum Games, also a studio that works on a bunch of stuff. Though lately... they've had a number of their kind of leadership people leave to do new things. So they've been kind of very much like, what are Platinum Games doing at this point? And well, here's one thing they've been working on for quite a while. Ninja Gaiden 4, supposedly out this fall, I believe. And then alongside that, they announced that they essentially remade Ninja Gaiden 2 in Unreal Engine 5. And have put it out on PS5, Xbox, PC, and Game Pass. You know, the day they had the showcase. So I believe that's a $50 game. That's pretty expensive for one of those. But kind of trying to do for that game what they did for the original Ninja Gaiden, at least on the Xbox. So kind of add more content to it, make it look nicer, and you know. Fine-tune some things to it, so yeah, you got some more Ninja Gaiden that'll hopefully be a lot better than Ninja Gaiden 3, that good show they put out ages ago.
The first two Ninja Gaidens are amazing. Ninja Gaiden 3 was such a step down in quality, it's honestly amazing it was made by the same people.
Well, not really, because I don't think Itagaki was even on that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he'd gone on to start...
his own studio.
Yeah, Studio Valhalla or whatever it was called.
To make a maybe an even worse game.
The Devil's Third.
Which is an impressive feat.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever get a chance, watch the Game Grumps playthrough they did of Devil's Third. It is some of the funniest shit you will ever experience.
Yeah. So yeah, we had those two games.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went on to South of Midnight, which is still an Xbox exclusive at this point.
Yep.
Xbox, PC, and Game Pass. They announced the date, April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see a good bit more of that game.
Yeah.
Which looks nice, but also still has just that weird look to it where the cutscenes are in kind of a less than 60 frame rates, kind of like it's a stop motion kind of
thing. Well, yeah, because it's trying to be a stop motion type thing. That's its sort of aesthetic.
Yeah, and then the gameplay is like much higher frame rates.
Yeah.
To it that just... it's clashing a little bit weirdly. Maybe it'll be better once I get my hands on it, but that's just the weird look it has right now.
Yeah.
Then we got to see more of Claire Obscure, Expedition 33.
Yeah.
Which looks pretty nice. That'll be out on PS5, Xbox, PC, and Game Pass on April 24th. Yeah, they have a lot of good ideas for how to make this kind of... turn-based RPG, an evolution of like your classic, you know, JRPG systems, and as they call this, the reactive turn-based system that has a little more action-y elements to it. Not in the way that like Final Fantasy 13 or 15 had or anything like that. It's more more like extra stuff to do for combat and that kind of stuff. So it looks pretty nice what they have shown so far. Then they ended showing Doom: The Dark Ages. They explained a lot more about what this game is, which is very much the the third game in the Doom series, the recent Doom series. Mm-hmm. But it's a prequel to the original 2016 Doom.
Yeah.
The way they described it, especially in comparison to Eternal, which is a very divisive game in this trilogy, yeah. Because it's a very faster,
very frenetic, and
deliberate type of design to kind of keep you thinking about the next thing you're doing, which worked well for some people, and others just bounced off of it because they like the kind of slower pace that Doom 2016 was. It seems like they're kind of going more towards that, because I think they described it, or I heard it described that Doom Eternal is like piloting a jet and Doom the Dark Age is like piloting a tank.
Yeah.
Because you're a more slower character and they've given you a bunch of weapons to essentially just destroy all the enemies in front of you in a more slower manner, but not necessarily like you're, you know, an actual slow character. This is Doom we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not, you know, sprinting everywhere, but you are doing a lot of running around because it seems like you have more open worldish area to explore versus having lots of corridors. So they showed off a bunch of the weapons you have. You have the, I think they call it like a saw shield. It is essentially a shield that has like a saw, saw blades around the edges of it. They used to throw at enemies almost like Rygar style and cut them up and all that. As well as, you know, your shotgun and that kind of stuff, as well as this kind of fun looking weird weapon that is almost like it's a meat grinder gun, but instead of meat, it's grinding up skulls to turn into like chunks to just shoot at enemies, that kind of stuff. In a way that looks really interesting, and they've changed up the like finisher system that the originals have. As far as I could tell, is there's some elements of it that I think will have to be explained better at later points. But you see, like the enemies kind of not necessarily flashing, but they kind of get these different colored circles around them that show like their different states that they're in for finishing them off. Whether you want to, I assume like destroy them for ammo or for health. I assume they might be going back to that kind of system from the original Doom. But
it
looks like a pretty fun kind of evolution of what the what people are probably more hoping out of Eternal from the original Doom. Something isn't going to require you to be kind of constantly jumping from thing to thing and, you know, shooting this enemy to get this kind of ammo to pop out, then using that weapon to kill this enemy to get ammo for this other weapon, you know, that kind of thing. They also showed the accessibility stuff that they have, at least one screen of it, which has ways that you can tune up the combat, essentially mess with the numbers to give yourself more health if you need that, or less health if you want more of a challenge, you know, tune the combat damage numbers. All that kind of stuff that is rare to see at any kind of showcase like this. Most of these games do not really talk about accessibility, much less show it to the players up front. That is a cool thing to see. Let's see. They announced a date for this, May 15th, for PS5, Xbox, PC, and Game Pass. So, So what did you think, Brandon?
I knew a couple of these were going to be there. Probably the one that still impressed me a lot is South of Midnight, but that's mostly because, you know, I am a lifelong Southerner, and that game, you know, all of its, you know, lore and everything is based around, you know, Southern folklore. You know, they brought up, you know, the past trailer they did of that, you know, they brought up Two-Toed Tom, who is in fact a real thing down here in the South that was like a famous sort of tall tale that people would talk about, how, you know, they were out in their fishing boats and, you know, somebody's uncle went and encountered him out in the middle of the swamp or whatever. But then they brought up Huggin' Molly, which is the kind of like a figure from Southern Alabama. You know, just I love the whole aesthetic of it, and it looks great. I get that for some people, you know, the sort of transition from like the stop motion framing to like the more cleaner stuff is a little off-putting, but for me, it just fits. Doom the Dark Ages, because yeah, I loved Doom Eternal. I had a lot of fun with it. Enjoyed it a great deal. And can't wait to play this one. And I love the first Doom. I love Doom Eternal. I can't wait to play more. And yeah, Clair Obscur actually looks pretty interesting. So I might be checking that one out too.
How about you, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, for the kind of gamer that I am, I think this was the best sort of showcase direct that Xbox ever did in my life, even. I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't care about Doom. So, like, yeah, I have nothing to say about that one. But aside from that, you know, they showed five things. Four things got dated. You don't see that anymore. So that was awesome. Just starting off with Ninja Gaiden, I'm going to be honest. I've never played any of the 3D Ninja Gaiden games. I've only played the originals. That being said, after what I saw, I definitely have, you know, some excitement for it. You know, I talked to some of the older Smash Pad and Gamer 2.0 guys that didn't really like it, especially Ninja Gaiden 2 Black, and especially knowing that they used Sigma's technology to create this one. At the same time, like, I still want to try it out. And the other thing that I'm interested in is the fact that, you know, Team Ninja is working with Platinum for Ninja Gaiden 4. And you know what? Like, just to be frank, the Platinum name isn't what it was. A lot of the last few games have been duds, and I can't think of anything good that they've come out with since Nier Automata, and that was years ago at this point. So they definitely need, like, a kick in the pants as far as, like, seeing what kind of glory they can bring. And Ninja Gaiden is definitely an interesting way to bring that about. But at the same time, like, the Team Ninja and the Platinum arcade or action-y style are very different styles, so I'm wondering how it'll work out with this one. But with all the footage they've shown, we definitely know it's a 2025 game, and it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to. And then obviously, like, we had 2 Black come out day of on Game Pass, so I'll try it out. I don't know, it depends on how time goes. And then South of Midnight, that's been one that I've quietly been looking forward to for a while. Brandon's right that it's a little bit off-putting to see, you know, the stop motion, and then all of a sudden it jumped back to 60 frames or 30 frames, whatever it may be. But at the same time, like, the style looks great. This is not something that we typically see, like, out of the Xbox we've known out of the last few years. You know, this is not Forza, this is not Halo, this is not Gears of War. It's something more along the lines of something that we might see on PlayStation. So looking forward to trying this one out, and it's also not, as far as we know, a multi-platform game. It's just going to be on PC and Xbox and Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it ends up on PlayStation, great. But if not, I'm definitely looking forward to trying it out sooner than later. April is really soon. And then speaking of really soon, we're also going to see Expedition 33. This is a game that's been on my anticipated list ever since it was first announced. And from Ben Starr to, you know, just seeing turn-based combat in a game that does not look like it would have it. It looks awesome. They showed a world map and all this stuff. The main thing that scares me about Expedition 33 is that they showed so much stuff, and at the same time, this is an indie game. So it's hard to really expect a whole lot of, like, AAA value, but just looking at it, like, this definitely stands up to a lot of the RPGs that came out last year. And if you can get anything of that quality, that would definitely be a win. So, yeah, I'm really excited about everything Xbox has shown. Does it make me excited as an Xbox owner? Well, yes, pretty much, because that's where my Game Pass stuff is. But, you know, we're really starting to see some of the fruits of the labor of Xbox's previous transactions, and I'm looking forward to finally diving in. And obviously, like, you know, Doom may not be for me, but a lot of people are excited about that one.
It was interesting to see them kind of listing non-Xbox platforms on these games.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a bit of a surprise. I figured they'd still kind of keep being like, well, it's on Xbox. That's all you need to know right now. And then you'll find out afterwards, like, well, it's on PlayStation 2. Especially for Ninja Gaiden 4, which will be fun to see, though. I've never been a huge fan of those. Those games, I've tried them when I had an Xbox, 1 and 2, but never really just took to them. Though I think that's also just the the style of Japanese action game that I'm not really a huge fan of.
Mm.
At this point, I was a bigger fan of like God of War back in that era. Because it's just like the, I don't know, the scale of it that the that those games had that the Japanese games did not really do as much. They more focused on like a lot of technical aspects of it and all that. So I'll be curious to try this one out. See, maybe I'll have some accessibility stuff to it. At least seem less focused on like the, was it the Ninja Dog mode that they had, where it's like, here's your easy mode, but we're going to mock you as you're playing on it because you're a weakling because you can't play the game at its normal difficulty. And it's like, man, fuck off with that shit. Like, I think one of them, they give your character a 2-2 just to mock you. That kind of shit that's always annoying with those kind of games, which very much fit like Itagaki's attitude with that stuff. But yeah, that looks interesting. It's at least an interesting move, and it's continued part of like the way Koei Tecmo has been doing their business, where they don't really care if they're the ones publishing games or not. So they've done a lot of work for Sony and Nintendo, and now Microsoft, partnering with them for various types of games, whether they're making you know, Hyrule Warriors games or you know, Rise of the Ronin and Neo for Sony, and now Ninja Gaiden, which is a little weird for Xbox to be publishing it, but they did publish Ninja Gaiden 2 back in the day. The original one was still Tecmo.
Yeah.
But yeah, they most of these games have primarily been on Xbox only, so that is not a... wasn't a huge surprise, like, oh yeah, this makes some sense for them. But yeah, it's an interesting lineup of games. Some stuff I'll definitely be checking out, at least for a little bit, on Game Pass to see if I want to keep playing them. But it is nice that they have some stuff coming out in the middle of the year. I know, like, the last few years, Xbox has generally not had much to come out early on in the year. It's often been very backloaded for whatever they've had to come out. So it is nice to see some games that are coming out here in the near future. Because yeah, I was looking at the stuff coming up here, and they've got Avowed coming out next month on the 18th. Yep. So they do have some stuff coming out here in the near future. So especially on Game Pass, they got, as we talked about, Sniper Elite Resistance, Citizen Sleeper 2 this week, and Eternal Strands, which I guess I didn't know that was on and beyond Game Pass, so that was a little bit of a surprise. So, yeah, they got some good stuff coming to Xbox here early on this year. So, I think that'll end up doing it, unless you guys have anything to add.
Nope.
All right. Let's get to, let's start wrapping it up. Thank you to Brandon Danner for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with the new slate of news and things to talk about as February starts to swarm us and smother us and tell us to go fuck off. Because this week alone we got Eternal Strands, Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter, Virtual Fighter 5, Revo on PC, Phantom Brave, The Lost Heroes, Sniper Elite Resistance, Spider-Man 2 on PC, and Citizen Sleeper 2, Starward Vector.
Yep.
And then, after next week's show, we'll have Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 and Rift of the Necrodancer.
Yep.
And as we mentioned, Still Waiting will be, or While Waiting will be, one of those games out that week as well. So, yeah, there's plenty here. And then we got Civilization 7, Urban Myth, Dissolution Center, After Love EP, not Assassin's Creed Shadows, that got delayed. Date Everything, The Legend of Heroes, Trails Through Daybreak 2, and Tomb Raider 4 through 6 remastered. As everybody says, the best Tomb Raiders. got a bunch of stuff coming out here in the near future for the next few weeks. So, yeah, if you enjoy the show, if you let friends and family know, they should check out the podcast and select strangers that are also excited about games that are coming out. Well, yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.